Our Old Testament reading, Ray's going to bring our Old Testament reading before you, which is from Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. We're looking at the actual crossing of the Jordan River, crossing into the Promised Land. And this is the new generation of Israelites from those who died in the desert, of course, and they are obeying God's call into the Promised Land. This is another miracle of God performed for his own obedient people.
Joshua chapter 3, verse 14, and reading into chapter 4. So that's 316 in the Pew Bibles. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and to those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabeth, the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jordan. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry land until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. That might have taken all day, of course. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. And this shall be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' That you shall answer them, 'That the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever.' And the children of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day." Amen. The previous generation had seen the miracle of the Red Sea, and this generation was seeing another miracle, not perhaps as mighty, but still one that would have, of course, caused huge fear throughout the land of Canaan, for God was demonstrating who he is, that he is all-powerful.
Thank you, Ray. Yes, the waters were held back so the Israelites could walk through the Jordan River on dry ground. And once across, God permitted the waters to flow again. And so as the Exodus had begun with the crossing of the Red Sea, so it ended with the crossing of the flooded Jordan River. In verses 1 to 4 there, the 12 stones taken from the riverbed became a memorial to God's faithfulness They were set up at Gilgal, about 2 kilometres from Jericho. That was their first campsite after they'd entered into the Promised Land. They also placed those 12 stones in the riverbed, commemorating the place of the crossing where God had held back the water flow. And the priest had held the ark in the riverbed while all the people crossed over. This is the mighty hand of God that we see here. The mighty hand of the God who we worship today. And we are called out of the world today. We are called to be separate from the world, to cross over into the Promised Land. And so we'll leave it there. And our reading from the New Testament this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Verses 4 to 8. Now this is about our spirituality. It's about our spirituality. There is belief. There is belief. We know that there's belief in Jesus Christ because so many people today use his name, don't they? But there is also spiritual union with God. Spiritual union with God. Just as there is Canaan and there is bones in the wilderness. Those who went in and those who failed to go in. And just as Joshua led them into Canaan, Christ is leading us to life eternal. Let us go to the reading. Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, or in the Psalms, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. And if I slip into verse 9 for a second, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. So we're talking about Joshua leading these people into the rest, or God's rest in Canaan, and we're talking in that last verse, verse 8, of Jesus leading us into the rest that we have in union with God while we walk on this earth, and that is completed when we join in the heavenly kingdom. What is meant by the rest of God, or God's rest? It is a rest of faith. It is a rest of faith. When our faith rests in God, it rests because it allows God to have his will in us. Just as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. This is a terrible thing that I'm facing. It's hard to bear in the flesh. But not my will, but yours be done. Jesus fully trusted and was in union with his Father and trusted that all would be well, even though he had to hang on that cross and die. By faith, we enter into God's own rest, in spiritual union with God. We partake of God's rest. This is the rest of our Creator, who created all things. We partake of this rest as we entirely surrender to him, to his will and to his working. And this is the difference between those who look at Jesus on the cross saying, he did that for me, he died for me, so I'm saved. We partake of the rest of God as we entirely surrender. There's more to come. We have to look inside ourselves. We have to reach in to that spiritual side of our life. And we need to surrender to him, to his will and to his working, just as Jesus demonstrated on earth, while he was on earth. It is by faith that we see and understand that that God caused or God created. He created all life. He created all movement and all change. And it is by faith that we understand that God has done all this. There are many in the world that think it happened because of a bang and everything come from nothing. And it's called evolution, if you, just in case you didn't know. It is by faith we see and understand that God caused and God created. That's why everything is in such a wonderful order of the seasons that we have. And how we've moved from the heat of summer into the beautiful fresh mornings of autumn. And we see the leaves on the trees all changing colour, beginning to change colour. And then they'll fall. And then in the springtime we'll see the new buds come on and the new growth. And then we'll see the harvest. God has set everything so beautifully in order. And he himself is immovable and unchangeable. He is absolutely sovereign. He was sovereign over all of creation, and he is sovereign over every second of life on this earth and in this world and in this universe today. By faith, we on our behalf, now we're looking, I've talked about God, now on our behalf, by faith, we in turn yield ourselves to Jesus to lead us in, to be partakers of God's rest, to be partakers of the rest that is spoken of in the scriptures, the rest of God. Jesus is our captain, he's our leader, leading his team, all the followers of Jesus Christ. He's leading us right in to the presence of God in union with him. Faith honours God. By faith we honour in our lives, we honour God. And in doing that, we make God our all in all. He is everything to us. And God honours faith. God, in turn, opens the door to faith. And the soul is brought into rest in him. Man's soul is brought into rest with him. Imagine the agony that God has faced all those years while humanity had been turned away from him. And God's plan from before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son, is going to pay the price for reconciliation back to me. And those people who are born in on to walk on this earth, who follow my Son Jesus Christ, Christ will lead him into my presence for all of eternity. This faith of ours is faith in Jesus Christ. That's why the cross and everything that Jesus is, the gospel message is so important to us today. Faith in Jesus, it gives us insight into his finished work on the cross. We have insight into his finished work on the cross, the completion of our salvation in his resurrection. I said earlier about how his resurrection back to God and the graves were open and the Old Testament saints, can you imagine walking into Jerusalem? We partake of the perfection of Christ. Christ was fully clothed in flesh. He was walking this earth as a man. He felt pain, he bled, he did everything that we do. But he was in complete union with his Father. He was perfection on this earth. And we partake, with our faith in Christ, we partake of that perfection. And that perfection working in us begins to perfect us and make us fit for heaven. Chapter 3 of Hebrews, verse 14, for we have become, this is the believers, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We don't fall away. We don't get halfway through the marathon and go and sit on the sidewalk and say, well, I've gone far enough. We've got to go steadfast to the end. This is the finished work of our salvation, like at creation. Remember way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified the seventh day, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. He'd made all things in 6 days. On the seventh day he rested. Then we turn to Hebrews 4, verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself, that's us, if we enter into the rest of God, we ourselves also ceased from our works as God did from his. Because God is working in us. We've allowed God to come in and fill our souls. God rested in the joy of his finished work of creation on the seventh day. And in this, from the seventh day onwards, it was the beginning of his blessed work of providing, to care for, and to bring to perfection what he has made. So he set in order all things, and so that he would be forever, from the seventh day, caring for, to bring to perfection what he has made. And we all know that man sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And so through the wonderful acts of Jesus Christ, we are to be reconciled. We are to be made fit for heaven. He is making us perfect again through the work of Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus Christ. This is about our spirituality. So it is the finished work of Jesus that is set before us here as the ground of our faith. So we look at Jesus, we look at the gospel message, and we see how Jesus lived his life on this earth. And we follow. We pick up our cross and we follow him. And our inner guide who makes clear the understanding of what God has in store for us, is the comforter that Jesus said, I will send you the comforter. I'm going back to be with my Father. I will send you the comforter, and he will reveal to you all things that I have said. The Holy Spirit is our guide. We pick up the scriptures and we open and we read it. The carnal man has very little understanding of the mysteries of God, if any. But we who are believers in Christ, God has revealed all things. We can go right through the scriptures. We can see from this day forward. We can see the falling away around us that God has spoken about in the scriptures, in Timothy. We can see the catastrophes that will be happening around the world, the wars, the earthquakes. There was an earthquake, I think, in the last day or so around Indonesia, 7.1. God is not speaking to the world. The Holy Spirit that he's given to us sealed us for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit opens up this world of God before us that we can take it in and understand. The call to us in faith that we draw near and we enter in to that rest. And we can only do this because we know Jesus Christ. And we know that Christ has done away with sin when he took our sins upon himself upon that cross. And we know what happened in the temple that day. The veil in the temple that kept the people out of the Holy of Holies was rent in two from top to bottom. A veil keeping the ordinary layman out of the Holy of Holies, 5 inches thick, was rent in two. And Christ is now set down on the right hand of the throne. All is finished. All is perfected. That's why Christ can sit down. All the Old Testament priests through the Old Testament had no time. There was no chairs in the temple of God because they had work to do. Christ has sat. It's completed. God rested on the seventh day. Christ is on the throne today. Plus, we believers have received the Holy Spirit from heaven in our hearts. making us partakers of the glorified Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. We heard the gospel message. We were convicted by the Holy Spirit. We heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise. So we can confidently rest in him to maintain, he will maintain and perfect his work in us. The work of the Holy Spirit at the day that we believe was the beginning. And the Holy Spirit has gone on working in us and building us up and making us fit for heaven. Jesus is, in a sense, is like Joshua. Joshua leading the Jews into Canaan through the Jordan River, as Ray explained this morning. Jesus is perfecting our faith, bringing us in and giving us a home in the rest of God. Joshua did the physical into Canaan. Jesus is doing the spiritual into the kingdom of God. Very few Christians enjoy this rest today. Very few so-called Christians enjoy this rest because they do not know Jesus as their captain and their leader. A feeble Christian only knows Christ on earth. They see the death on the cross. They are still on milk. This book of Hebrews is trying to take us past the baby stage and to give us the meat. We're looking at the meat of the word here, and we're growing in our understanding of God and what our responsibilities are as Christians. We need to grow. We need to embrace this truth that Jesus, like our Joshua, is our captain, and he has entered in before us. In Hebrews 9 verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption for all and forever. Jesus secures for us, as partakers of himself, the boldness and the power of entry into a heavenly state of life. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have free entry into the very presence of God. He is seated as our high priest, keeping us in personal fellowship with the living Father. He is our mediator between God and man today. In the flesh, we are weak and sinful. In spirit, weak in the spirit even. But we are partakers of our heavenly rest, that of God. Think how Joshua led the Israelites across the flood of Jordan into the promised land of milk and honey, of rest, and they followed him into his rest. It was by the hand of God holding back the water, then saying, take up these stones as a memorial to what happened. Every year at the 25th of day of April, we remember the fallen on the battlefields throughout the world. A memorial is held right across this land and in other countries of the battles. This memorial was set up to remind people even today of what God has done. But remember also, when we look at these memorials of the wonderful works of God in faith, remember also the unbelievers perished in the desert. They shall not enter my rest. So we're left with, where are we today? What am I going to do with my life today? Where is my being? Where is my heart? Where is my soul? Where do I want to spend eternity? Let us follow Jesus in the path that he trod. Let us take up our cross and follow him all the way. By the will of God he suffered. He did his work, he faced the trials in waiting for the Father's guidance, and he gave up everything to his Father's will. He gave up everything to his Father's will. And God's will was Jesus' path here on this earth. So also, we must yield ourselves to him. We yield ourselves in death to self, death to the carnal life, death to the worldliness that we live in today, to be alive in him. We need to have faith in Jesus Christ, who is on the throne. We must never forget, Jesus has gone. He's preparing a place. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me where I am. Our great high priest, he has brought you and I from the clutches of Satan and will make true the blessed experience of God's rest. The blessed experience of God's rest. Let's leave it there. I want to leave it with a message from that wonderful prayer once again that I keep going back to, from John 17, verse 11. Now Jesus said, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, this is the disciples, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Who's that? Judas Iscariot. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. This is the apostles. And remember Peter at Pentecost standing up and preaching the word, and so began the church. And here Jesus goes on, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. We have the gospel message, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Amen.